This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Today, it's budget day in Saskatchewan, and while it won't be released until later this afternoon, we'll review what has already been announced. Elsewhere, Kevin Hirsch with SaskAgToday.com reports on the railways struggling with performance over the last few weeks. And of course, we have the Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour, and so much more. Again, you're listening to SaskAg Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Coming up first is a review of what has already been announced in terms of the ag and rural side ahead of today's budget.
This is SaskAg Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
SaskAg Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. It may sound like a broken record, but the provincial budget will be released this afternoon, and it will be broken down and looked at from every possible angle today and into the rest of this week. The Sask Party government has made a number of announcements ahead of today, especially on the agriculture side. Here's what we know so far of what's being invested on the ag and the rural side. $1.15 billion for Phase 1 of the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project. That was announced last week at the SARM Convention. Speaking of which, we'll have more on the SARM Convention in the show. Elsewhere, Crown land grazing rates for 2024 were frozen to rates set in 2022. Municipal revenue sharing is increasing by 14% to $340.2 million, and how that will be dispersed among communities will be revealed this afternoon. Details related to the 2024 crop insurance program were shared earlier this month. You can find those details at saskagtoday.com. Province also contributing $2.7 million as part of a combined $8.2 million investment between the federal and municipal governments for RMs to upgrade and replace bridges and culverts. Finance Minister Donna Harpower is expected to rise and introduce the 2024-25 budget at around 2:15 this afternoon. We'll have full coverage of the budget on air across the Harvard Media News brands and online at sasktoday.ca, saskagtoday.com, 620ckrm.com, and gx94radio.com. You'll also hear reaction from the farm and lobby groups in the coming days as everyone processes the budget. And coming up next on the program, as I alluded to earlier, we have another feature from the SARM convention last week. There was a resolution related to some infrastructure funding, specifically the Rural Integrated Road for Growth program. We'll hear a little bit more on that right after the break. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back. A resolution to lobby the provincial government for changes to the Rural Integrated Road for Growth program was passed at the annual SARM convention in Regina last week. The program is partially funded by the provincial government and administered by SARM. The program, also known by the acronym RIG, saw the province contribute $13 million to 31 RMs to address 34 projects that includes roads, bridges, and culvert projects. The program grants cover up to 50% of each project's total cost to a maximum of $500,000. The RM of Corman Park, which covers the rural areas surrounding Saskatoon, introduced a motion to revisit some of the road design requirements. The main areas of concern are the minimum road top width of 8.6 meters, along with the minimum right-of-way of 42 meters, and the minimum design speed of 90 kilometers an hour. Art Prume is the Corman Park Division 5 councillor.
So as many of you can remember in history, in this province, most of the roads were built with a 7-meter road top and a 20-meter right-of-way. And some of us as municipalities have moved to an 8-meter road top and a 30-meter right-of-way, to the extent that in the last 5 years we've built two different sections in our municipality, 4 miles each, at an 8-meter road top with a 30-meter right-of-way. Yes, these roads suit us extremely well. And the specifications, as you find today under the policy, to go to an 8.6-meter road top and a 42-meter right-of-way has made it that, frankly, the financial impact to the tenders that we're receiving on these RFPs overrides the benefit of receiving the maximum $500,000 grant money that we can receive. So there's absolutely no benefit to us. And we also feel compelled to state that if the road tops have to start getting to that width or greater, the whole issue should become a Ministry of Highways issue. So for these reasons today, we seek your support that the policy needs to be slightly changed there on points B and C so that more of us as municipalities can qualify for funding.
Larry Parrott is the reeve for the RM of El Capo, based in Broadview. Parrott spoke against the motion, saying it would water down an already underfunded program.
Not that I disagree with some of the comments, but right now under the rate program, we've got a little over 30,000 miles of roads that do meet that class 2, 3, and 4. By adding class 6 and 7s into this, that's about another 130,000 miles. The problem with the program is that right now with the funding that we have, only about 65% of the applications that are submitted right now have enough funding to be approved, and under the bridges we're about 45%. I think the bigger issue here is we need to look at the whole funding structure for the RIG program and lobby to have adequate funding for it, because my concern with this motion is we're going to add a tremendous amount of about 80% of the road structure we have in the province into the funding of this program, totally diluting it when it's not sufficient right now as it is for the roads that do follow the criteria. So I think we've got a bigger issue here, and I totally agree with the last comment from the mover that this needs to be more of a looking at it from a highways and the whole infrastructure system, that we need to go back and revisit this whole program. It's been in place for almost 20 years. I think there's an opportunity here to revisit and try to come up with a bigger, longer-term plan that really meets the needs of the province and the infrastructure that we're wrestling with.
Wayne Black is the reeve for the RM of Barrier Valley, based in Archewell in East Central Saskatchewan. He supported the motion.
We've got a lot of problems. We don't have a road in our municipality that would fit within the criteria that is present in place. I don't disagree with what Larry said, but at the same time, if we can't have roads that qualify, what's the point of having the program? And our main contention with it is the road top. I think we suggested 8 meters. But the big killer for us is to go to the 42-foot right-of-way. We're going to have to go and buy extra property, move fences. Now we've got power blinds, power poles, and cables within the existing right-of-way. So our contention was, let's do this, but let's leave the existing right-of-way as it is, so we don't have to go and buy land. Why do we need a wider right-of-way, taking property away off fields from the farmer? It just doesn't make any sense. We're not going to use that wide right-of-way anyway. So I think the whole policy has to be revisited. I certainly agree with that.
The resolution to lobby the provincial government to expand project eligibility under the Rural Integrated Roads for Growth program passed by a margin of 65% in favor and 35% opposed. Coming up next on the program, we'll have Ag Review with Doug Falconer. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after this.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange, ready to market your 2023 crop head over to migraineexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Solid exports of Canadian yellow peas to India over the past few months could continue for longer as officials contemplate extending duty-free imports once again. After India lifted tariffs on yellow pea imports in December 2023, the country has become the top destination for Canadian yellow peas. From August through November, India bought no Canadian yellow peas, according to Statistics Canada trade data, and the country has been a non-factor for Canadian yellow pea movement since tariffs were introduced in 2017. However, with the duties temporarily lifted, India imported 331,000 metric tons of yellow peas from Canada in December and January alone. That accounted for 66% of all Canadian yellow pea exports during that period and vaulted India into the second spot behind China for total export demand this marketing year. BASF Digital Farming and Richardson International say they have signed a deal that will see Richardson Pioneers Agronomic Network use the Zarvio Field Manager agronomic platform across the four Western Canadian provinces. The companies say the Zarvio platform will enable Richardson agronomists to offer growers more precise field-specific crop management advice during the season, including early risk alert notifications for diseases such as sclerotinia in canola. They say Zarvio Field Manager consistently predicted economically significant field-specific sclerotinia incidents in field trials in 2022-23. Richardson agronomists will also be able to use Zarvio Field Manager to generate tailored variable application maps for seeding, crop protection, and nutrition tasks based on field-specific data such as yield maps, soil maps, and 15 years of historic biomass imagery from satellite data. John Deere, Kins Manufacturing, and Ag Leader Technology say they've reached a collaboration agreement that will make it easier for farmers to integrate their technology and equipment while also ending a dispute over high-speed planter design patents. The agreement will allow farmers who run Kins and Ag Leader planting and display products to seamlessly integrate with John Deere's operations center. The companies have also agreed to resolve all outstanding litigation through a deal where John Deere will license certain planter designs to Kins and Ag Leader to allow them to continue selling their respective True Speed and Sure Speed products. In October 2023, a jury in an Iowa court awarded Deere $16.3 million in damages and royalties from Kins and Ag Leader after determining the two companies infringed on two of Deere's patents in the United States. Farmers Edge has received a final order from the Court of King's Bench approving the company's plan to go private and delist its shares from the Toronto Stock Exchange. A subsidiary of majority owner Fairfax Financial Holdings will acquire all the outstanding shares of the company, except those it already owns, and those held by the Farmers Edge CEO for 35 cents per common share. Farmers Edge was founded as an agronomic service business in Pilot Mound, Manitoba in 2005 and grew into a digital agriculture company providing software and sensor technology, including variable rate maps, aimed at helping farmers with agronomic decisions on millions of acres of farmland in more than half a dozen countries. The company has struggled financially and been forced to downsize, with its share price declining dramatically from its initial public offering on the TSX in March 2021 at $17 per share. The delisting and transition to wholly Fairfax ownership is expected to be completed on or about March 21st. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your SaskAg Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, what are we looking at in terms of the forecast for today? I understand we're not going to see too much sunshine today.
No, in fact, not for the next, 48 hours or so. Finally, I think by Friday we'll break through to a little bit more. There will be some sunny breaks. Whether we fully break through to blue looks to be a longer shot, but at the very least, some breaks of bright sky through the afternoon. Most of the day, though, as a whole, we can safely call it mostly cloudy and a high today near minus 5. The wind's not overly strong, though. It's a pretty gentle breeze out of the southeast becoming east northeast this afternoon and staying in that east and northeast direction tonight through tomorrow. Temperature overnight tonight down to minus 10. And minus 4 the high tomorrow. Now, that minus 10 is actually right where we should be at this time of year. It's the daytime highs that are running a little below normal. We should be just above freezing, and we are a few degrees below. So we stay below normal through this week. In effect, likely through most of next week, temperatures are going to be remaining below normal, which means generally below freezing. But at the very least, we'll break out of the gray sky. Any flurries that come through late Thursday night could bring a very minor coating up to a centimeter down to minus 13. Then we clear out Friday near minus 4, the high, partly sunny on Saturday, minus 5. And Sunday, we're still in and out of that cloud cover, minus 6, holding right there between minus 4 and minus 7 or so for at least the first half of next week, then slowly trending up. But I think normal might be a long shot.
Thank you very much, Phil. Normal highs for the time of year, plus 2. The lows, minus 10. Sun rose in Regina at 6:59 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:13 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia and Swift Current, minus 6. Moosomin, minus 9. Estevan, minus 7. Saskatoon, minus 11 degrees. Yorkton and Melville, minus 12. And in Weyburn, it's minus 8. The least cold spot in the province is a tie between Assiniboia and Valmarie at minus 5.5. Cold spot in Stony Rapids at minus 21. In Regina, mostly cloudy sky, east wind at 9 kilometers an hour, humidity at 50%, temperature minus 7 degrees or 20 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 102.9 and falling. In Moose Jaw, also cloudy, east wind at 15, the temperature is minus 6 degrees. Again in Regina, mostly cloudy, east wind at 9, and the temperature minus 7 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Saskag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com and Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. According to the Ag Transport Coalition that tracks railway performance, CN and CPKC only fulfilled 56% of grain car orders in shipping week 32 back in early March. As Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com reports, railway performance has been a problem for the past couple of months.
Milt Poirier compiles reports for the Ag Transport Coalition. He says that for the first 24 weeks of the crop year, movement went quite well, with order fulfillment around 90%. Where things turned was week 25, right around the middle of January, when the West was hit with a significant cold snap and temperatures dropped to the minus 40s.
It was understandable that performance suffered when we had the cold snap. But the surprise has come in what's come since then. And what we've seen is the inability of the NNCP to recover to the levels of service that we would have expected to see by now. It has been 6 weeks. And they kind of made a little move up a couple of weeks after the cold spell, but it didn't last, and the last couple of weeks have been, you know, particularly bad. And given where they're at right now, we're not overly optimistic to see significant improvement in the near term.
It's been a mild winter since the January cold snap, and demand for grain movement has been only average. No major derailments or infrastructure problems have surfaced, and yet performance has not rebounded. Poirier says with outstanding car orders growing, it gets increasingly difficult for the railways to dig out of the backlog. Coming out of week 32, the two railways had more than 3,000 outstanding car orders carried forward. He says the problem must be internal, probably related to a shortage of crews. It's not really about cars, since both railways have cars in storage.
Adding more cars to a network that's not performing, if it's lacking assets such as train crews, is not going to improve things, because throwing more cars at the problem may get you more cars to spot at shipper locations, but is not really going to help you when you're trying to create train starts, because to do train starts, you need locomotives and you need crews. And if you're short of crews, then all you're going to end up doing is congesting your network even more, which is then going to compound the problem you've already got.
When grain doesn't reach ports on time, it's a costly problem.
I think the thing that is going to be of concern now over the next few weeks is if people are watching what's going on at the Port of Vancouver and at Prince Rupert, the lack of performance inland is now starting to manifest itself at the port. As of yesterday, based on reporting by the Grain Monitor, Vancouver now has 30-plus grain vessels sitting in the port. 25 of them are sitting at anchor. A dozen or so have been there for 2 to 4 weeks. Prince Rupert has 5 vessels, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for Prince Rupert, that is a lot. So, you know, you've got a lot of demand at the port, and the grain is not finding its way in a timely manner to the terminals so that those vessels can be loaded.
Vessels that sit for an extended period incur demurrage, which is charged to the grain companies and is ultimately borne by producers. For SaskAg Today, I'm Kevin Hirsch.
We'll take another break here on the program. You're listening to SaskAg Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of SaskAg Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Australia has been eating into Canada's canola share in Japan, but our canola is still the number one choice in China. Jarrett Beattie is the director of marketing for Parrish and Heimbecker.
Australia, unless they have an environmental issue, it's going to be continue to be a bit of a thorn in our side in terms of capturing market share. And it's going to be something we're going to have to sort of look to in the future. We haven't really had to deal with them in the past in the same degree. They've been a producer of 3-4 million tons and maybe an exporter to of a few million tons. And so this is a new competitor, really, that's going to be on the horizon as we fight for market share in key markets.
Australia grew a record canola crop a couple of years ago, but the past year's total is more modest.
Australia's crop this year, 5 million tons. They use about 1.5 million. That gives them a 3.5 million ton exportable surplus. Compared to when they produced 8 million tons, it's still a big decrease. And so that gives us some opportunity to recapture some of that market share. Places like Japan, who had been such a loyal customer for a long time, really have adapted to Australian seed, unfortunately. And so we're going to have to really battle for market share in those markets. Mexico, a little bit better for us, that we have a logistical advantage, and we see them probably turning quicker back to Canadian seed. I'd say the UAE probably will stick with Australia, just the way that with the logistics and the market dynamics are going to work.
While Australia has been making inroads in Japan, the Aussies are unable to crack into the Chinese canola seed market due to higher levels of dockage.
We've talked about dockage in canola to China for many, many years now. We are cleaning to 1%, and effectively, you can see the kind of numbers that we're exporting. We have opportunity to do more there. I think we've adapted as an industry to manage that, and the irony is it's become a competitive advantage for us into China. We have seen the Australian prices often as much as $50 to $60 a ton discounted in these other markets, to Mexico, into Japan. And for us to be able to keep that market share in China because of the dockages, you know, proving out to be a big advantage.
That's Jared Beatty, the Director of Marketing for Parrish and Heimbecker. On tomorrow's show, we'll talk about transportation and sustainability. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is the market update. Keep it tuned to the program. It will return right after these messages.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were mixed in early trading today. Canola is up $6.70 to $602.62 a metric ton. Number one red spring wheat is down $3.91 to $296.14. The rest were unchanged. Durum $387.37. Feed barley $225.58. Chickpeas $992.08. Flax $606.04. Lentils $721.50. Oats $276.32, yellow peas $437.98, and feed wheat $212.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 8¾ cents to $6.47 a bushel. Up next is the livestock report.
The Sask Ag Today livestock reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest quotes.
This is the market report for the Assiniboine Livestock Auction for the week of March 18th. Here are the prices of cattle in each weight break, sold in groups or part loads, not any goats on singles that might have spiked the market. 500-pound steers were at $4.85 a pound. 550s were $4.52 a pound. 600-pound steers were $4.33. And 650-pound steers were $4 a pound. 700-pound steers at $3.80 a pound. 800-pound steers at $3.32 a pound, or $2,615 a piece. Heifers, 500-pound heifers were $4.14 a pound. 500-550s were $4.03 a pound. 600-pound heifers were $3.80 a pound. 650-pound heifers were $3.68 a pound. 700-pound heifers sold for $3.34 a pound. And 800-pound heifers for $3.10 a pound. Now, there's no substitute for a good, uniform, precise sort. You can compare these prices with any other place in Canada. The market changes from day to day and week to week, but you can tell me if you find a place that gets more money than we did this week. We had four major order buyers in here that bought cattle and four local buyers buying. The trucks come in from the east, west, and north, and it doesn't matter where the trucks are. They all have wheels, and they always get here, and who knows what direction the cattle go after they leave here. This has been Roy Rutledge reporting from the High Dollar Market.
The latest pork prices are at $203.33 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
European Union lawmakers have agreed to renew Ukraine's import rates, which have been in place since shortly after Russia invaded, while adding protective measures for agricultural products such as grain and honey to address the concerns of farmers across the 27-nation bloc. Farmers angry at red tape and competition from cheap imports have been vehemently protesting in recent weeks. Under the deal struck early Wednesday, the EU would renew its temporary suspension of import duties and quotas on Ukrainian agricultural imports. However, the deal comes with a safeguard. When imports of goods, including eggs and oats, reach a certain threshold, the regular tariff rates and quotas would be reintroduced. The deal now needs to be formally approved by both the Parliament and member countries. On the markets, the TSX is up 44 points at 21,904. The Dow is up 19 points to 39,129. Oil is down $1.72 at $81.01 per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is at 73.80 cents US. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. And that's going to do it for Wednesday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.